thousands of people have mysteriously vanished in America's wilderness. Join us as we dive into the deep end of the unexplainable and try to piece together what happened. You are listening to Locations Unknown.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Locations Unknown. I'm your co-host, Joe Irado, and with me, as always, is a guy who knows exactly where Kate Middleton is and how she's doing, Mike Van de Bogart.
Thank you, Joe. I don't get that reference.
Because you have kids now. You don't know what's going on in the world.
I don't know what's going on.
Kate Middleton's been out of the spotlight for like a month.
I could
be way off. All I know is she's missing, and it's the most photographed family on the planet, and they haven't seen her in an alarming amount of time, apparently.
Oh, sounds like people have too much time on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you, Joe.
I see the TikToks, and I don't know the extent of it. I just know that people are up in arms about it.
How are you coping with potential TikTok ban? Are you gonna?
I'm doing just fine.
Okay.
I mean, honestly,
I guess we grew up before the internet.
Well, and it'll just be like, oh, that sucked. Anyway, Reels on Instagram's actually been better.
Yeah,
TikTok has become like a marketplace now.
Oh.
Like, where people are just hawking stuff all the time. Like, every other video, someone's selling something.
Let me stop you there. Just make sure to sign up for a Patreon. But just to get moving here, just a quick Patreon shout out to Sarah Santiago. Only one this week, so...
Thank you, Sarah.
All you listeners need to step it up and start signing up.
Those are rookie numbers.
Yeah, rookie numbers.
No, we appreciate all you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Mike's very tired.
A little tired, a little under the weather, but I'll survive. If you want to support the show in other ways, you can go to our Facebook page. We have a Facebook store. We have a store on our website. You can subscribe to Patreon, YouTube members, someday on X. I don't know, other stuff that we have, merch and...
Yep, yeah, all the good things.
All the good things. So if you're watching, you'll notice we got a guy in the corner.
We got some fans in the studio.
Fans in the studio.
We're trying this out to see how it goes. Hopefully none of them go crazy.
So
then we can't do it ever again.
This is our last show.
Yeah.
You know the suspects. So, all right.
Last thing.
Yes.
If you want to call and leave a voicemail, like you didn't like the format of the show, or you do love it, or you're Montana Mike, or who? What's the other guy? Montana Mike and Nebraska
North
Ned.
North Dakota Ned.
North Dakota Ned. You guys can call anytime.
Should we mention the collaboration coming up?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We posted it publicly.
Yeah, but not everyone's on Facebook.
Okay.
Well, you can mention it.
Oh, okay. We are going to be doing a collaboration with National Park After Dark. So all you fans that reached out to both their show and ours, your message was well received. We had a meeting. Went well.
We're not going to release the other collaboration we're working on just yet.
Yeah.
But
that one's cool.
That one's cool. It's probably National Park After Dark's a big podcast, but this one is even bigger.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought they were like pretty close.
No.
Okay.
I think it's, yeah. But we'll announce it soon because it's going to happen within the next
lots of exciting stuff's coming up.
And Tooth and Claw. We're going to get on
them. Yeah, we got to get on them. That's the next one. That's the trifecta.
Yes.
So, other than that, if you want to call the show, the number is 208-391-6913. 208-391-6913. All right, everybody, let's gear up and get out to explore Locations Unknown. June 9th, 2013. A young woman is setting up camp with her friends in the Canyon Creek Campground in Gifford Pitchett National Forest. Shortly after preparing camp, she declared to her friends that she was going on a spiritual quest. She removed all of her clothing and began hiking into the woods. Join us this week as we investigate the strange disappearance of Maureen Kelly. Thank you.
how do you say the name of this national forest? Just say.
I said Gifford Pinchot. I think it's Pinch. Like it's you say it fast.
Pinchot.
Yeah,
okay.
Pinchot.
Gifford Pinchot National Forest. It's in Washington State. It was established in or on July 1st of 1908. It's one of the older national forests in the United States and is included as part of the Mount Rainier Forest Reserve in 1897. 941,440 acres was set aside as the Columbia National Forest on July 1st, 1908. In 1855, the U.S. government commissioned Washington Territory to negotiate land secession treaties with tribes around the forest. The Yakima tribe signed a treaty agreement that stipulated their moving to a reservation while maintaining off-reservation resource rights. However, the original treaty was then broken in 1916 when the Washington State Supreme Court ruled that Yakima's hunting of the hunting off the reservation had to subscribe to state and fish game laws. So many tribes in the area have continued to use the area's resources while encountering non-native hunters, fishers, and recreation users. It was later renamed to Gifford Pinchot National Forest on June 15, 1949, in honor of Gifford Pinchot, one of the leading figures in the creation of the National Forest System of the United States. His widow and fellow conservationist, Cornelia Bryce Pinchot, was one of the speakers who addressed the audience assembled that day. In 1985, the nonprofit Gifford Pinchot Task Force formed to promote conservation of the forest. So just a little information about the forest. The National Forest is the native habitat for several threatened species, which include the spotted owl, as well as multiple species of Northwest fish like the bull trout, the Chinook salmon, the coho salmon, and the steelhead. People have been in this area for quite a long time, going back almost 6,000 years. Native Americans, like we said, have hunted the high meadows below receding glaciers. Natives began to manage the forest to meet their own needs. One method they used was to burn specific areas to help in the huckleberry production. Interesting.
Oh, weird. They're like intentionally set fires in certain areas to allow the growth to come up.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's pretty crazy they figured that out.
Yeah, interesting. About 338 spots, more than 6,000 culturally, it's a tough one, modified trees were identified, of which 3,000 are protected now. I can't speak tonight.
How many little kids do you have?
Two.
Who? What's the oldest?
2 years.
2 years. Everybody just sympathized with you.
Yes.
That's why I brought it up.
The forest was home to the Big Tree at the southern flank of Mount Adams, which is one of the oldest, one of the world's largest ponderosa trees. Forest also contains 7 wilderness areas: Glacier View, Goat Rocks, Indian Heaven, Mount Adams, Tatush, Trapper Creek, and William O. Douglas, a national monument.
And the national monument.
William O. Douglas and a national monument. Mount St. Helens National Volcano.
I didn't get into monument. Mount St. Helens. I want to say that so nobody complains because it's like fun facts. Yeah. That would have been a whole other thing because that was like such an like incredible event in the 80s. Like those hikers died and like there's the pictures. Like I didn't want to even get into it. So maybe we'll do that on another one.
Yeah. Maybe Evan's been there. Maybe.
Yes. So. Yeah. Like during the eruption or something because he always is in the craziest places all the time.
Let's talk about the weather briefly. Our friends at Köppen climate classification system. The climate in this area is Mediterranean influenced humid continental climate or subarctic climate, depending on the elevation. A little bit about the campground. Canyon Creek Campground offers easy access for smaller RVs and motor vehicles, but with zero hookups and little else provided. There is a toilet, so that's a plus. No reservations needed. You just drive on in.
There's a toilet, so that's a plus.
Yeah.
You're like angry about the campsite.
Types of dangers. You got deer, elk, mountain lions, black bear, salmon. Got to watch out for those. Waterfowl. Coyotes and raptors. I saw those once in a movie. Pretty dangerous.
Birds of prey.
I know. terrain. Joe helped out research on this one. Old growth forest.
So this camping area is like...
It's small.
It's a small tent area and there's like one spot. So there's like... It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
the terrain has nothing to do with what happened. There's like a steep part we'll talk about. So
okay. So we're going to get into a little history. I guess Gifford had some interesting events happen in his life. So obviously we mentioned he was an important figure in the American conservation movement. As the first chief of the U.S. Forest Service, he tripled the nation's forest reserves, protecting their long-term health for both conservation and recreational use. Unlike some of the other seminal figures of the conservation movement, he was more interested in the practical elements of conservation and less preoccupied with the spirit. I can't talk. What's that word?
I feel like this is like karma
yeah.
for when you did the Hawaiian episode on purpose and just threw in as much Hawaiian words as possible.
These are words I normally get.
I know. That's why that's why it's karma.
Yeah.
Because you should be doing fine, but you're not.
Spirituality, Spirituality. Of nature. There we go. He saw protecting the parks as a social good and recognized that national forests had value not only because of their beauty, but also because of their resources they could provide to citizens. He's probably thinking of
the way you read it was like he's an undercover like oil tycoon. Yeah. He's like, I love the trees. Yeehaw! And then he's like, now let's get rid of all
Cut them down. Yeah. part of this recognition came from his personal background. His family fortune had been earned in the sale of products coming from forests.
There you go.
There we go. Consequently, he was encouraged by his father to become a forester and had a unique recognition for the role that well-managed forests played in sustaining the livelihood of families that relied on natural resources for income.
So this is where, like, we made fun, but I want to give him credit because it's, think about that time frame.
Yeah.
Being wealthy and people weren't conserving things.
Yeah.
Like they were like, okay, I need trees. I'm going to cut them all down.
Yeah.
They approached it from like a recognition of, if we want to continue getting resources from this, we have to do conservation
manage
also.
It. Yeah.
Exactly. And like his father encouraged him to go into management. They're like preserved. So like, that's a really good example of how, what destructive capitalism can be and yeah. how good capitalism can be if done right.
Yeah.
And it's like, if there were more people like that, we wouldn't have had the issues we've had coming up.
You even see that in the forests in northern Wisconsin, some of them have selective logging where,
yeah,
some of the trees are cut down, but not all of them.
Yeah.
They don't just clear cut it.
Yeah. No, it's just really cool because now we do it because we understand it. Back then, I mean, companies would just dump things in rivers and like nobody cared. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like for him to be going against the grain like that as a major titan of industry is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we were making fun of him for kind of being like the evil guy when I think is like actually for that time, like a real conservationist hero where he's like the capitalist pig, if you will, and he didn't choose to rape and pillage the land for resources.
Yeah.
Like brava.
Brava.
Yay. all right, go on.
All right. He also played an important role in beginning the Yale School of Forestry, encouraging his wealthy family members to donate to the school. At Yale, he became a leader of sustainable resource management in 1900. He founded the American Society of Foresters to increase awareness of forestry and provide professional development opportunities for those interested in making a career of protecting woodlands. When Teddy Roosevelt created the position of Chief of the U.S. Forest Service in 1905, he was the obvious choice. He served in his role for 5 years under Roosevelt and then under President Taft until 1910.
My most hated president. I don't even know anything about Taft.
Taft, I mean... I've heard the name.
Yeah, I've heard the name.
All I know.
That's it.
He worked to promote efficiency and resource use and to cut back on waste in the forests, utilizing the whole of felled trees. He clashed with other leaders of the environmental movement, including John Muir, in the debate over the damming of the Hetch Hetchy Valley in Yosemite National Park.
We did a case in the Hetch Hetchy Reserve.
Yeah, wasn't that...
That's the damned... That's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They created that lake.
Yeah, who went missing there?
It was a guy, remember, he was like a...
He talked to his sister.
He was an interesting person, and he was going by himself, and he was like, he was known for like kind of just going off.
Carl
and doing,
Landers?
It might be him. Yeah. He was known for just kind of like, I'm going to go do this. And he wanted to hit a section of the PCT that traversed that area, if I'm remembering correctly. It was a good case. It was very interesting.
Although the Hetch Hetchy was a piece of great beauty, his personal priorities lay in providing resources to the growing citizenry. Consequently, he disagreed with Muir about the ethics of damming the valley and supported the creation of a water reservoir.
That's the Hetch Hetchy.
So that's a little bit about the area and why the forest is named after him. Joe is now going to go into character profile.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Maureen Kelly. So she's female and born on September 26, 1993. So when she disappeared, she was 19 years old. So by today's, if she was still alive, would be 30 years old. She's Pacific Islander. And we always do the description, clothing last seen in was none. So you'll hear more about it, but it was very interesting what was going on while they were camping. And it happened like right away.
Okay.
So she was raised by a single mother, Mapona, in Vancouver, Washington. She was known as Anu to her friends. So she graduated from the Lewis and Clark High School and was an inspiring singer and songwriter, often posting ukulele videos on YouTube. And I'm going to play one of them as the music to exit today. It's kind of good. She did a cover of Sublime, and I thought it'd be nice to just play it out with one of her songs. But all of her stuff's on YouTube. Cherie Kapua, her half-sister, described her as a very laid-back, carefree girl and an affectionate person. Anu had called her shortly before heading into the forest to ask if she could borrow camping gear. A friend of Kelly's, Amanda Ziegler, stated that she was not surprised Kelly had gone into the forest, though she was concerned by her entering the woods alone and without any clothing, as anybody would.
So she was nude?
She wasn't when they first went in. I think like that was her friend's quote after.
Oh.
So I'll get into the timeline. So that was just like a little background around her and some of her friends.
All right.
So the timeline starts on June 9th, 2013. And this is going to be a little bit of a shorter one, but we can get into some of the theories that should take up some of the time. All right. So I'll just call her Anu. That's what her friends called her. Because you'll hear her friend referred to her as Kelly. Some people call her Maureen. I'll say Anu. She was with a group of friends at the Canyon Creek Campground in Gifford Pinchot National Forest. After they had set up their campsite around 5 p.m., Anu decided to go on what she called a spirit quest or spiritual quest. So she removed all of her clothing, including shoes, socks, and proceeded to start in the woods. Her friends did report that she was wearing a fanny pack around her waist that had matches, a knife, and a compass.
Okay.
And she told her friends that she'd be back before midnight. She was planning to be out there for a long period of time. No clothing, no gear or anything. So, as you can expect, when she failed to return in the early hours of June 10th, her friends reported her missing. So, law enforcement arrived immediately in the early morning, began searching. So, this is not a well-traveled area.
Yeah.
They're within like 12 hours of her going missing, and this campsite's super, super small. Mm-hmm. So, there's not a lot of places you can go. So, I think they're feeling that they're going to have a good chance of finding her. So the Skamania County Sheriff's Department initiated a one-week-long search. Undersheriff David Cox said she had talked about doing the spiritual quest for evidently quite some time. The folks that she was with, they felt that this was something she needed to do. It's a rough, remote area with a lot of timber and brush. It's going to be tough to go for her, especially with no shoes. The forest area where she was last seen, Canyon Creek, is steep and mountainous with heavy timber and brush. And Sharon Ward of Pacific Crest Search Dogs said, where she entered the creek is amazingly steep. It's called Canyon Creek Campground for a reason. It's very, very steep. So how she got down there barefoot is a wonder. And how she came up out of the bottom is a wonder. So she walked away from this campground that's right next to a creek. They're able to follow her to the creek. And then she climbed up the other side. And it was some very steep embankment that went all the way up. And they're pretty surprised that she was able to make it and do it because she was completely naked. So search teams determined she crossed the creek and headed north, climbing upward towards Forest Service 54. It's a single lane road. and they lost the trail, and the canine units were unable to pick up the trace after that. Cox said the weather has interfered with the search, a thick cloud covering preventing helicopters from scanning the Canyon Creek areas for signs of Anu. This limited rescue crews to search on land only. He said that because there's so much underbrush, searchers literally could walk on top of somebody if they're rolled under a log and never know it. So on June 15th, the official search was suspended at 6 p.m. And the final day's search involved 75 volunteers covering 4 square miles of challenging terrain. She ended up posting a video. I was going to see if I can play this. I'll pull it up in a little bit because I didn't have it queued up on here. That was my mistake. But she posted a video of her just like playing her ukulele with a friend like 2 days beforehand. It was just a neat thing to see.
So while you're pulling that up, let me just recap. So basically this individual decided to do this spiritual quest without any gear and in a really rough terrain by herself.
Yeah, rough terrain if you're out, because the campground's like, you saw they're like RVs. There's no hookups, but there's a toilet. So it's like a campground. Yeah, there's the toilet. You at least they had that.
On top of that.
Yeah, you were really making fun of this, that portion. But so like where they originally started was fine, but there was no trails that she just kind of went off in a direction towards the creek, across the creek. And if you could imagine going to some of these areas, you know, like the one side of it just super steep and it goes up to either a cliff or whatever.
After you pull this video up, can we get All Trails or Google Earth and get a view of this?
All Trails does not have any route that's to this place. That remote.
Can we find it on Google Maps?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably.
I'd just like to see.
I pulled up some pictures, but they weren't exactly. Okay. I'm not showing the screen just yet because I got to find the link to this.
Yeah, I mean, just off the top of my head, this, you know, we've covered cases where guys have are incredibly experienced and prepared and have gone missing.
Yeah.
This woman went out into the woods naked, basically, with no gear. Do we know if she was on any kind of substance or?
So I think I have it layered later, but from what they said, it didn't seem like their friends thought she would.
Okay.
And even what the sheriff said was she had talked about doing this before.
Yeah.
So my guess is like, this is a thing she wanted to do. So this will give it, and why I wanted to play this video is to give you an idea of like her personality.
Okay.
And if you knew girls like this in high school, like more hippie, like more carefree.
Yeah.
They were the type of people to talk like, I'm going to go on a spiritual quest naked in the forest.
Okay.
But like, she actually did it. Yeah. I'm not saying that's bad or it's good. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but to each his own.
Yeah.
But you know, there's the types of people who do that. Let's see. Am I not getting audio?
Oh, we're having technical difficulties here.
Oh, interesting.
There we go.
So I'm coming on the beat just a little late, but no need, I'm not gonna hesitate. I'm eating my banana, so I had to take a break. Now I'm spitting it all.
She's like freestyling.
You know, it sounds great because
like that's what she did. Yeah. Like she's eating a banana and freestyling ukulele music. So like that's her personality.
Yeah.
That doesn't strike me as odd that she did that.
No.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
So do we know, is she very experienced in hiking at all, or is this kind of?
No.
So no. Not
she had to borrow camping gear.
Okay.
So she didn't even have any of her own stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where it's, you know, I think a little bit more risky.
Yeah. I would say, what were the, when you were researching this, did anyone mention weather conditions during the day?
So it was fine during the day. Yeah.
So it's. What kind of elevation is, sorry, a lot of questions just fighting.
Not crazy elevation.
Okay.
Like you can get like Mount St. Helens is high. You can get to higher areas, but so do you want me to kind of, so some of the theories explain some of this.
Okay. Yeah. Let's start with theories.
Okay. So investigators believe it's likely Anu died in a mishap in the wilderness, but her body was never been found and the case remains unsolved. Although weather on the day she disappeared was mild, temperatures at night dipped into the 40s with some light rain. Mm-hmm. So she could have been succumbed to exposure. So what they're saying is she's naked. Yeah. If she gets a little bit wet and it gets in the 40s, hypothermia.
Done.
Like very quickly. I feel like I get mild hypothermia in all my gear.
Yeah.
Sometimes when it just gets snowy going into a tent.
Yeah.
Like I'm not even soaking wet, but just that amount of cold.
I was in full rain gear on Mount Rainier And we ended up calling our trip off because of the rain.
Yeah.
And we were worried about hypothermia in full gear.
Yeah. It's like getting wet is no joke if you're not prepared for it, if you're out in the wilderness. And 40s is cold.
Yeah.
That's cold. I mean, 55, 60, if you're wet and naked, is very cold.
Yeah.
So that's like if, and she seemed tiny.
Yeah.
So circulatory system starts shutting down if you don't have a lot of muscle mass or fat to keep you warm.
Not experienced in survival. You know, maybe someone who's trained in survival could figure out how to survive.
Well, but the mental part of it?
Without any, you know, any gear and no clothing, I mean, that's almost impossible, I feel like. I mean, I keep bringing up Evan, but he did Naked and Afraid. Maybe he would be an expert on on this topic.
Although he keeps telling the same story about the dude with the massive.
Oh, yeah.
Like he, every time I've got to tell him, like, hey, don't tell that story anymore. We heard it. We heard it.
We'll have some show notes for him to read.
Yeah, we're going to have some explicit warnings.
Or
put
we
on
just
all of our
let
stuff.
Him do it every time. Just,
it'll become the running joke. Yeah. Just every time he's on, let's see if we can get him to tell the story. All right, there, it's done. Okay. We're doing that.
Yeah.
Well, and if it's not happening, I'm going to like kind of lead him, be like, tell us the story about Naked and Afraid, and it'll just happen. We're 100% doing that. Okay.
All right.
Bad segue. We're back. So authorities, that was kind of their explanation. Yeah. Kind of how we talked it out. That makes a lot of sense.
That's now, my leading theory.
Yeah. Her friends and family have different theory. Her friend Yasmin said she may not want to be found.
Okay.
So how much weight would you put on that, just hearing it? You kind of you got a one video glimpse into the type of person she is with a little bit of description I found of news reports of their friends online. So like when we're saying, oh, this is what we think she is.
Yeah.
This is, we're on very limited information, but I mean, all those assumptions.
If her goal was to like not be found and start a new life, I feel like she wouldn't have gone into the woods naked with no gear. That doesn't seem
logical. Read it more as like if she planned it that way and someone picked her up on the road.
Maybe.
That's how I read it. Like if I was her friend, like is her friend saying like, oh, she like set it up to like exit in this very dramatic way.
Yeah.
And she's still alive and like went and started a whole new life somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know enough about her from just one video to say that's true or false.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still sticking with the first theory that she probably succumb to the elements,
but
yeah, what was some of the social media theories?
I found one comment on social media, so I'm prefacing it right there. Take that however you want to take that. From someone claiming to be friends with her in high school, she said she was a great friend and that it was not something she would have done. She was implicating the group of friends. So she thinks, based on knowing this friend group, again, a comment of a person on social media that I did not dig too deep in to verify if she actually was, is saying that with that group of friends and her, they think something might have happened. And it was the group of friends. So I posted just those three because I think outside of, if you want to come up with an off the deep end version, you can do
that. Well, no, that third theory. So that person thinks that her friends murdered her.
Or maybe some accident happened. Think any movie from the
90s. Yeah.
Like an accident happened, and instead of just dealing with it, they're like covering it up.
I mean, this one seems pretty clear cut to me. Just like you said.
You're just tired and want to go home.
No.
You're like, it's obviously one. All right, let's wrap this up.
No, sometimes cases are really puzzling
where
the person's experienced plenty of gear and, you know, even someone saw them recently.
Yeah.
You know, everything checks out and they disappear. This person kind of, this case is the opposite of those. The person was inexperienced, went out into an area that's pretty rough. The weather at night got really cold and they were completely unprepared. If truly were like naked, that's as unprepared as you can get.
Yeah.
There's no more unprepared after that. That's it. I mean, you're at the end of the line for being unprepared.
Yeah.
So no shoes even.
Yeah, just matches and a compass and a knife.
Yeah. I mean, why even bring that at that point? Not to, you know, I shouldn't, you know,
You're getting really upset.
Yeah, but it's just kind
of
like.
You're like out of a frustration of like, oh, if she would have just made some better choices, she wouldn't have gone.
Yeah, frustration of like, well, I'm going to go.
You're parental frustrated.
I'm going to go hiking in the mountains naked without shoes, but I'm going to bring a knife, matches, and compass.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes no sense to me.
Well, I mean, even just getting naked to go on a spiritual quest makes no sense either. So every decision after that kind of does make sense.
There's a desert somewhere in Southern California where people always go for like spiritual, like they go out there.
Yeah, but I don't think they go naked.
No,
they go in like a tent too. Like they bring supplies. Yeah. It's planned.
Yeah.
This seemed like a spur of the moment, like poetic thing. Like why not? Being somewhat of a musician.
Yeah.
I play, but you know, I can't really read music, but I really enjoy playing. And there are times when I'm playing, I feel it and get into it. And it gets, so if you have someone who's really into it, it's an art.
Yeah.
And they're a very expressive person. They do boisterous things. Like that's how they are. That's how their personality is. Maybe that's her personality where she's like, I'm going to go on a spiritual journey. And so like, I'm going to go completely nude. Like I came into the earth.
How did she get out there?
They drove, like they went to do like a weekend all of camping. She's with her friends. Yeah. Oh. Five of her friends.
So they went to the campsite and then she just walked off naked.
Yeah. They set up camp. As soon as they were finished setting up camp, it was around 5 PM.
Okay.
And she said, I'm going to go on a spiritual journey and then stripped her clothes down, grabbed a fanny pack and whoop, off. Hmm.
And we don't know if she was on any substances.
From what it sounds like, she was not.
Okay.
Now, if that's her friends talking to the police and saying we didn't do drugs.
Yeah.
And there are a bunch of high schoolers camping in the woods or college freshmen or whatever.
I feel like doing a spiritual quest out in the woods naked, you would probably be on something.
We won't name
anything, but.
Yes. I've met people that would do that completely sober. They're that interesting. And I've met people who would only do that if they were on marijuana or something.
All the stories I've heard of people doing that, they are on something either, you know, psychedelics or.
Yeah. Like their intent was to what's the one? Peyote. Like that you go off in the desert or something.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, and because she basically had no gear with her, that makes it even harder for searchers to find anything because it's not like they're going to find boots or, you know, a backpack or anything.
But they followed her footprints.
Okay.
They followed her bare footprints to the creek. The other side of the creek, they saw like scrambling up the wall and then they were able to follow her to the road. They know she got to the road and then were unable to pick up any prints.
She got to another road.
She got to like a Forest Service road. It was a single lane road and they followed bare footprints to that road.
So there's a chance someone picked her up.
That's kind of where the Yasmin friends thing comes into play.
Or it was foul play. Someone.
But it's a really remote single road. What are the odds?
Yeah.
That someone's driving by and that person also happens to be someone who would do something terrible like that.
Those would have to be pretty crazy odds.
Exactly, because that does happen.
Yeah.
But it's very rare.
Yeah.
So the fact that those two events collide perfectly in such a remote place, mm-hmm. I would not put my money on it.
And so another question I have is, she was with her friends at this campsite. After a certain period of time, did they not get concerned that she was didn't get back
yet? Yeah, they called early hours in the morning. She said she was going to be gone till midnight.
Okay.
Which, I feel like none of them were avid hikers or anything beyond maybe campsite campers.
Yeah.
Because the fact that they let her go off and do that would prove to me that they don't know what they're doing.
But
they might not hike. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's tons of people who just pop a tent and they're in the campground and they're fine. And they would not understand how to do anything.
So we've been hiking where we'll see people like hiking remotely in flip-flops.
Yeah.
I mean, no gear.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I always do his own care. It's like, all right.
Yeah, whatever.
You do you, man.
You do you. But, you know, I think the easiest theory on this one is just she was woefully unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably made it to nightfall. And if it's in the 40s and rainy, that's it.
Why do you think she got to the road? And much like the creek, like they found her prints on the other side. They're unable to do that.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you?
Maybe that she got to the road and was thinking like, well, I've got a compass. Maybe I'll try and find my way back to the campsite via the road.
But they didn't find any other. Oh, like walking the road?
Walking on the road. Yeah, it's probably like a road like we have. If it's a forest road like up northern Wisconsin, it's probably like gravel.
So then let me ask you this.
You wouldn't find footprints on that.
You wouldn't find footprints, but if she's on the road and never left it.
Well, maybe.
Where is the body?
Maybe it got dark. It was getting dark and starting to rain. And maybe she's like, I better go into the woods and try to find shelter.
And they just, within that 4-mile radius, never picked up on those prints?
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Crazier things have happened in cases.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just putting you. I'm putting you to the ringer.
Or the other thing is, she did this on maybe some kind of psychedelic and wandered off like deeper into the woods, and that's why they not, like, she got to the road and then was like tripping out and just wandered away.
But that's where it's like, I feel like if she was near the area where she entered the road,
yeah,
it'd be a higher likelihood they'd pick up her prints again. Yeah. I feel like if she walked down the road a certain distance and then went back into the woods, but man, even making that decision at night.
Yeah. But
it's hard to hike through the woods at night, dude.
And maybe so not hard. Every spot she could have entered back in the woods would have leave prints either. I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Like if she liked the rocky areas.
Rocky or like a lot of grass. Like.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough.
It is old growth forest.
Yeah. Old growth forest terrain. Yeah, no. And I mean, and because she wasn't wearing any clothes, you know, if she's, so it comes the elements.
I mean, honestly, at those temperatures, 2 hours tops.
Yeah.
Before your body's starting to shut down.
Yeah. And she had no water or food on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think this is a lesson to anyone listening that, always go prepared. Don't go hiking by yourself naked in the woods. it's not.
Yeah, I don't mean to laugh like, haha, it's funny. It's more like Schadenfreude. Like, that should be a very obvious thing, but that's where it could be spur of the moment. I mean, those campgrounds feel so safe, right? Like, you're not going to get lost at campground. So if you think, oh, I'm just going to wander off a little bit, but especially up in Washington, some of those forested areas.
Yeah.
They're thick and you can get lost very, very, very easily. Even if you're just in a normal campground, like, and you feel like you're by trails. Remember that couple we ran into in Glacier? They were climbing over a mountain, and remember we were coming down Flat Top Mountain.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden these four people came up like from the side.
Oh yeah.
And they're like, where are we?
Oh yeah.
And they were like, they had climbing gear. They were experienced people. They got lost.
Yeah.
And they got lucky that they crossed paths with us in the backcountry. And we're like, yeah, here's where you are. Here's the map. They're like, oh, thank God. And they're like high-fiving. Like, those people would have been a topic of our show.
Yeah.
Because they were way off track.
Yeah.
And they lived in the area. And it was the middle of the day.
Yeah. Anybody of any experience level can get lost. Uh-huh. It's incredibly easy, especially some of these national parks where you just have maybe Karens like lining the path every 100 feet.
Yeah, not people.
Not actual Karens. Stacks of rocks.
The stacks of rocks in the mountains. Those are actually have a purpose.
Yeah, they're to mark the way. And you can get turned around real easily. You could miss one.
Oh, well, especially if it's night.
And
they could be 50 yards apart.
Unfortunately, people who don't hike a lot and don't know what those are will sometimes mess with them too.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, why did people ruin nature? It's like, actually, that's so you don't get lost and die.
Yeah, it's a waypoint, basically.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, she probably succumbed to the
I'm with you. I was putting you through the ringer, but I agree with you. I think that's like 99% sure that's what happened with that one. What's your off the deep end?
Oh, no, I'm done with the case.
So you need to get sleep.
No.
You need some sleep.
No, I was just thinking.
Got you. No, I got you.
This was a little bit of a shorter episode. I was wondering if maybe you could play one or two of our funny voicemails to try and entice people listening to.
I could try and pull those up. Yes.
Call. Maybe I can't.
We Montana Mike's one.
Are there any that are like PG?
I mean that one. Is yeah, okay. Like you really have to understand what he's saying.
So for those of you who are still listening, thank you. But
I wouldn't. Well, you're so negative tonight.
I know. Sorry.
Negative Nancy.
For those of you listening, we have a voicemail or a phone number you can call. Leave a voicemail, and only our Patreon or YouTube member supporters can listen to our voicemail episodes. So I think it'd be kind of fun here at the end, since this episode is a little shorter. We play a couple voicemails to kind of.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay.
Yeah.
No, you can finish. I want to make sure that was the right one.
Yeah, no. So just to give you a taste of some of the calls we get.
This is what this is what you could be listening to in addition to these episodes.
And
if you were a patron subscriber.
We had so many voicemails to get through. We had to do two different Patreon episodes recently to get through them all.
Yeah,
is this our friend Montana Mike?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So, yeah, for those of you not Patreon members, here's what you're missing out.
Can we find one for North Dakota Ned?
I don't know where it is. Oh. I'd be looking around a lot.
Okay.
But we have these brothers that call in. One calls himself North Dakota Ned, and the other one's Montana Mike. And here is Montana Mike's. I'll play both of his voicemails.
Okay.
Because he called twice in one day.
Yes.
Here's the voicemail. We'll try not to laugh while it's going.
Make sure you got the volume up.
I got it.
Okay. Good.
Hey, Joe and Mike. I heard you played a voicemail from my cousin, North Dakota Ned. Well, my name's Montana Mike. And here's my review of the show. First, I'll ask you, have you ever been to the crazy mountains with a fly rod, going fly fishing by yourself for a week in early fall, gonna catch some of the wonderful colors changing of nature and all the trees, and maybe catch some beautiful trout, and you get some and you fry some up there on the open fire, and then you hear something that sounds like something large, maybe a bear, and you turn around, but it's Bigfoot. And it's not just any Bigfoot, but it's a female Bigfoot, and it's the rut. And then she kidnaps you and rides you so hard there's smoke coming out of your ears. Because that's what it sounds like and feels like to listen to Locations Unknown while driving a Ford F-150. 5 stars.
So I have a theory that is actually...
No! You're always ruining it. No theories.
No, the comedian.
Oh, okay. That theory is okay.
Not Louis Black. What's the...
Ron White.
Ron White.
Yeah.
I think it's Ron White.
Tater Tot.
Tater Tot. We have a secret celebrity fan. Yeah.
No, it is.
It's
Ron White. So you're as cool as Ron White. All right. Here's what he called back with. Later that day, same day, he called back with this.
It's me, Montana Mike, again. I forgot to tell you. Did you know that Alcatraz means pelican? Now you do.
There was one more of his.
Yeah, he called it. I don't know. We're going to have to like start labeling them after we play it. Yeah, just his.
Yeah.
Just to pull him up. Yeah, because it was like he expanded upon the Sasquatch where we had a son now.
Yeah.
And we're a Sasquatch family. Son. Yeah, Sasquatch family.
But
like
you can
a whole thing.
See your Ford F-150 off like in the distance.
Yeah, he gave it
for it.
Yeah, it was like on parked on some cliff at sunset.
I really wish we had that.
I had a running theory that it was like the Ford F-150 marketing team is going to start calling in with that type of stuff. It'd be genius guerrilla marketing campaign.
That would be it. You know, remember the Geico commercials with the cavemen?
Yes.
I think Ford should, you know, pay us for the rights for this voicemail, and they could start doing commercials like the guy, Sasquatch, like female Sasquatch, and longs for his Ford F-150.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, Harry and the Hendersons.
Just go back to that style. I love that show so much.
That's a deep cut.
That's a deep cut.
That's from like when I was a real little kid.
Oh, God, yes.
Harry and the Hendersons.
I mean, what a great show, though. Did you watch that one a lot?
Not really. Remember Elf?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember Elf. That's pretty good. Pretty good, huh? They came in a spaceship from Mars. That's how he sounded.
If you're on impressions, can you do Norm MacDonald for me?
I'm not good at it. You like it, which I appreciate as a friend, but I'm not that great at it. It's not. Because I can hear it. I'm like, eh.
Eh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah, you're better at it than I am, especially in your mood right now. You're very stoic.
How does the joke go?
You know. Well, all of his jokes are very inappropriate.
Yeah.
So I can't say it. I don't want to.
Well, it was the bear joke.
I don't remember.
Like I got ate by a bear. Like I don't know. Now we're just wrecking it. So I don't know.
Yes, but you should have stuck with Harry and the Hendersons.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Great show. John Lithgow.
Yeah,
he was. He was in Dexter. He was one of the serial killers in Dexter.
That's right.
He was the dad, and he was the one like the angry dad's like, I don't like that we have Bigfoot living with us. Like.
It is kind of funny sitcom dads what they like. Remember Malcolm in the Middle? Then he came. Walter White.
Yeah, I mean, well, he was fed up with how everyone treated him, and he started just dealing meth.
Yeah.
Became the one who knocks.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, all the sitcom dads were just kind of oafs.
Except
forever.
Married with Children. I don't know if he ever did anything. Remember that guy?
Yeah. No, what do you mean? He was in Modern Family.
Was he?
Yeah, he's the old dad in Modern Family that
Roseanne went crazy.
Yeah. No, she went crazy, and now she's coming back to normal again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
She's, like, funny again.
Wow.
Yeah, full 360. Just back to the start. Good for her. Well, so yeah, that was a little taste. So, and this banter was also a little taste. So if you hated this, if you hated the banter after the voicemail, then you're not going to want to sign up for Patreon.
I really apologize to our listeners. I'm literally just trying to fill time.
So you don't have to. We can have a short episode.
We'll cut that out.
No, we won't. That's a running joke too. We never cut anything out, even though we say it. So what I do want to end on though, I've got she covered, this is back to Anu. She covered Sublime's Boss DJ on her, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a fun way to cover. So what I'm going to say is I'm going to do my out, and I'm just going to let this play while we're silent. So thanks again for tuning into our show. We appreciate all of you for listening and tuning into Locations Unknown. Be sure to always share with your friends and family. Like and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, anywhere where you get your entertainment. And do us a favor and please rate us. And like I said, my message, everybody, if you don't think it's 5 stars, don't give us 5 stars. Give us 4, 3, maybe not 2 or 1. Call the number if you think it's less. But other than that, go on and give us a rating right now before you're done. And if you'd like to support the show monetarily, please visit the website or Facebook store to buy some sweet swag. Or if you want to just become an investor in our studio, you'll have to call the number and give us your pitch and why you'd be a good investor to give us money. That could be a lot of fun.
We're talking to you, Montana Mike.
Yeah, Montana Mike. If Montana Mike actually was like a billionaire and he's like, I'll pay for your studio.
I'm telling you, it's Ron White.
Yeah, well, he can have like 10 shows in our network of whatever the hell he wants. Just unlimited amount of airtime.
Yeah.
And lastly, when enjoying the beauty of nature, whether backpacking, camping, or simply taking a walk, always remember to leave no trace. Thanks, and we will see you all next time.
This is a cover on Boss DJ by Sublime by Anu Kelly. There's a steel train coming through. I would take it if I could, and I would not lie to you, because someday morning soon will come where things will be much easier to say upon the microphone like a boss DJ. But I won't walk up upon the sea like it was driving. Boss DJ ain't nothing but a man. No trouble, no fuss. I know why. It's so nice. I wanna hear the same song twice. It's so nice. I wanna hear the same song twice. Rumors are spreading all over my town, but they're just stones and sticks. Cause on the microphone is where I go to get my fix. Just let the loving take a hold, cause it will if you let it. A funky, not a junkie, but I know where to get it. No trouble, no fuss. I know why. It's so nice. I wanna hear the same song twice. It's so nice. I wanna hear the same song twice. Ooh wee, girl. Ooh wee, girl. Ooh wee. No time to waste, time to hate. Really ain't no time to make the time go away. Yeah, yeah. So Mr. DJ, don't stop the music. I wanna know, are you feeling the same way too?